Hello and welcome everybody to the April 18th, 2013 session of the 2013 Ontology Summit. Today we're reviewing the second draft of the communique. Does everyone have the link open to the Google Doc of this of the latest draft? This is pasted in the chat. Thank you, Fabian. Okay, I see we have 10 people in that document now, so 12, so we probably have a good start. We have got quite a lot of feedback on the first draft and went through all of it and made lots of changes, including, you know, some minor but some substantial and structural and conceptual. I hope that that most of you had a chance to look at, if not this, the version that's in there this second, then something close to it in the last day or so. You will notice immediately on page one that we still do not yet have the executive summary. However, that will not have new content. That will be an executive summary. It got the lowest prioritization for review of the things that needed to be worked on. Some folks have made comments already in this document, and we'll definitely, we can talk about those, and we also have a few items marked for, explicitly for group consideration. I guess before we start, we can sort of go through and look at the comments, that people have left or that we've marked. But before that, I think I'd like to just ask if anybody has questions or issues overall that they want to raise right away.
Can Peter Yim here? Can I assume that you will sort of clean up the prose later? We'll only focusing on the content and not the
Yes. Aesthetics. Thank you. We've done some. Some cleanup on the way, but we definitely are not have frequently lashed ourselves and said move on at this point to get the content, make sure that the content is reflecting what we need it to, and we will be cleaning up the prose and doing further wordsmithing afterward. But we appreciate the typo and other, you know, editing catches that people have given us. It's actually been very, very helpful, even if, even as we go. So.
Well, I don't see anybody raising his or her hand. So I think we probably should start with the big questions that we have here on the first page, which are for the group consideration, which are the terminology question, because just to review for the people who might have not attended last week but are now on the line, I think we got most feedback, and not only during the phone conference, but also written comments on the ontology life cycle model section, which is now completely rewritten, and which is, you know, not surprising in the sense that this is the part that we basically made up ourselves based on some of the input from the track champions, but that wasn't discussed in as much details as some other parts. So
I wouldn't say made up ourselves. I would say we tried to synthesize ourselves from the.
But it wasn't. Yes, but there weren't dedicated sessions on what is the ontology life cycle, for example.
Yeah.
So we didn't, you know, that's not surprising that we got a lot of comments there, and we cleaned up the terminology, and I hope for the individual life cycles, which phases, which is. Was also commented on heavily, and I hope this is better. I mean, we didn't get negative feedback yet. I'm sure that it's only a matter of time, But the really open, the other question was the terminology about the characteristics that we are evaluating. And there wasn't, everybody agreed that this needs work last time, but nobody has came up with a good proposal yet. So that's something we would like to get out of the way. Michael, you have your hand up.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I was just wondering, just a procedural question. Were you guys going to go through kind of sequentially through the document like you did last time, or you just want to have kind of random issues pop up?
I don't, unless there's somebody formulates the need for going through the document sequentially, I don't see the point of it. I mean, each of this, there are places which have changed a lot. So we might, you know, the only thing that we could do is point out what the kinds of changes were. But the big intent of the big structure of the document, in the sense of, what we want to achieve and how it's structured, namely that we break up the evaluation across the life cycle, all of that, that didn't change.
Okay.
So I'm not sure whether there's a good reason to go through it sequentially.
Okay, so did you want to talk about the terminology first and then move on to other questions? Because I had a question sort of related to terminology.
Start up with your question. If it's related to the subject, that's good.
Okay, so on page 9, I guess under the section operational adaptation, then you have evaluation. And under evaluation, you have one question. Does the model support operational requirements? Example, performance, precision, recall.
Yes.
Is there a discussion of different kinds of requirements before, like specifically what an operational requirement is? Like in terms of, defining what an operational requirement is, for example?
Okay. When we talk about the operational environment, the requirements that come from the operational environment in the requirements development analysis.
Right. But that question on page 9 kind of implies, so performance, I could see that, that sort of thing. But then precision and recall seems to be a different kind of requirement. It almost seems to be like a requirement that arises from a particular application of ontologies, ontology-based search. So just wondering what you guys meant by precision and recall in that particular question on page 9.
I think the answer is that that depending on what your intended use of the ontology is, you will have different the operation and the environment determines your requirements. So if you want to use your ontology for search, then you would apply precision and recall. If you want to use it for other purposes, then you won't.
I would actually say that actually precision and recall also apply to certain kinds of query answering, but I agree with what Fabian said, and perhaps we need to make it clearer that we mean the requirements, throughout this we're talking about requirements for an intended use, right? And that could be broader or narrower, but it...
Yeah. I think it's an important distinction. I agree. I mean, like, you want to have something like operational requirements, and the second paragraph of that little mini section at the end of that first paragraph, you do talk about, performance requirements. And so I just was wondering, to me, I kind of think of precision and recall as being different than, say, necessarily performance, but
sure. I mean, the fact that they're on a list doesn't mean that they're on the same level, but your performance requirements will derive from your operational environment or the operational requirements, right? So there will be whether you have half a second to answer a query or 2 minutes or 2 hours. There's no independent of the use case, you can't say that.
Right. No, but just often when people have a list that contains items that they haven't been identified or defined before, sometimes the reader has to perform a little bit of induction to kind of say, well, mm-hmm. why are all these in the same list, and tie it back to the original statement. I was just having that little bit of a task that I had to do there.
Yeah, maybe you could just put a comment in there and say how you would make it clearer.
Yeah, okay, I'll think of something.
You might just add something that last paragraph to mention that this will affect the precision. If you change from an open world to a closed world, it may be to make answers more precise, but recall less. Yeah, less accurate.
I think now we are making it more complicated than it should be, because now we would cross-reference different examples, which, you know, just from a reading point of view makes things always complicated. But I agree that could be clearer. So please add comments, suggestions. Steve,
can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a pragmatic request, which is, again, trying to make this more useful for people who just want to roll up their sleeves and start doing things. I see you have the section on tools for ontology evaluation at the bottom of page 11 and mm-hmm. top of 12. But not only there, where there's a footnote 5, which is going to be to that synthesis section, but I think throughout, every place you have those footnotes and stuff, I would like to see a lot more links to real tools that people have been using and do use for all different aspects. Otherwise, it's coming across to me too much like an academic paper, and I think we're missing a great opportunity for all these things that people can, in fact, get pointed to, but right now they're quite buried. At the very least, some of your footnotes say, for more detail, see. Who would know that there are some tools down there?
Right, okay.
At least say, for examples of tools that are in use and things, see, blah, blah, blah. And even there, we might want to even break out some of the tools instead of having the person look at a synthesis, which in turn points you to a web page, on the wiki of the actual session, which in turn will lead you to some of the tools. It's just way too varied, I think. That's all.
I agree, but I didn't find a page where we have an overview of these tools.
Well, there could be such a page perhaps on the tools and methodology synthesis.
That would be nice, but there is none.
Well, that's true. So that's one thing we could perhaps address with those champions. But even other than that, and maybe that's just a lot of work for you guys to do, but maybe we could help you do it, is where you're making reference to various properties. And again, I'm more familiar with the structural side, but where you do talk about the structural and consistency kinds of things, we could sprinkle in some footnotes with specific links to specific tools that are exemplars of that.
Well, I still think it would be more sustainable to have a document which can be edited afterwards so that you can add new tools as they arrive or update the links when they, when stuff moves. So I would rather prefer to have a list on a wiki page, which we can refer to, and we can refer to that on several places in the document. I'm fine with that, but you have to remember this document is going to be frozen, in a month.
My request would be to turn to perhaps Michael Denny and Peter Yim, who are the champions for the software environment. And what do you think, you guys? Who's on? Is Michael Denny on?
Peter's hand is up.
Okay. And do you think you could pull together such a current snapshot of the tools that are currently available? And I realize that plays into the survey. That's probably what you're going to say. But go ahead. I'm not running this meeting. But
Peter, please.
Yes, the ideal answer is like 50 people responded to the survey. We put everything on the table like what Michael Daniel did maybe 8-10 years ago. So all the software are listed and what feature each or which part of the life cycle and what feature, what question, what competencies are they covering, that would be ideal. The reality is up to now, four tools have responded to the survey. And if we are lucky, we might get to 10 by the end the whole exercise. Whether or not that means we have a good coverage of the software environment, I don't know. But I mean, thanks to Steve, actually, and Michael, the four responses came from Toronto, as well as the three people who were in the Track A panels. And namely those people who actually were actively participating in the hackathon, namely OOPS, OntoQA, and who else? Repose.
Yeah.
Which is from Patrick Lambrick. So hopefully, I mean, we're still hopeful.
I'm thinking, though, Peters, maybe we could collectively... We know there are other tools out there, and maybe just being more proactive and just identifying some of them and inviting other people to.
Yeah, I have an idea to throw out there related to this, and it's also related to the footnote that I added at the very end of the document. I guess actually it's now on the bottom of page 11, which is it's footnote 6. If you want to take a look at that for a second, and then I have a comment about it.
I don't see it.
It's on the shared screen now.
Oh, it's on page 12, I guess.
Okay. One thing I was thinking might be another way of doing this is, it's a lot of material about many of these topics that could use follow-up. A lot of material has been presented during the summit or collected, you know, various references. It'd be very easy to just add, and I think I did it for one of them, subfolders in the library corresponding to particular topics in here that seem to need a link to resources, right? And there's, you know, one of the, I don't know, maybe people will want to take a quick look at, follow that link to the library for a second, but it's very easy to... Once items are added in there, they can be filed under multiple folders. It doesn't duplicate them. So you can really sort of facet this is what I'm thinking about. A folder I added yesterday when I was just to follow through this line of thought, I added the folder evaluating informal ontologies and dragged one of our resources in there, because I think that, you know, that if we had a collection of references or tools that handle that, we can footnote a link to that folder at the end of the informal model evaluation section. Right? And that's a very sort of focused and not too buried way of providing the resources accumulated during the summit, in you know, very accessibly from the communique, otherwise, you know, we're faced with this. If we try to list everything that came across, the document is just going to be full of some idiosyncratic collection of references to particular tools or methods or and so forth, and it will be very, very long. So this was what we were facing. We don't want to put in too many specific references, and, you know, for the same reason we didn't want to make it a survey. We do want to provide, as you said, what we do know. So I put in that link as an idea for how we might want to do that, but it's only going to work if people pitch in to creating and filling out those folders.
Mm-hmm.
So far we really haven't had, very little has been contributed to the library except by me copying things over. So I don't know if that's a realistic expectation.
Can I make a comment? I actually think another, perhaps along the same vein, many papers I read, it's helpful to have kind of a roadmap of the paper at the beginning, and maybe in the introduction we could say, this communique also makes reference to synthesis pages on the wiki, a library of relevant literature on, the footnote, whatever. Just to let people know what they can expect out of this communique right up front. I would think the introduction section.
Not in the summary?
Well, executive summary usually isn't where you put that.
Okay.
You could. Usually, if I'm thinking of the executive summary as like an abstract, then I wouldn't put it there. But I suppose if it's a page or two executive summary, you might want to just say, this document further identifies resources available to the reader in the form of synthesis of the sessions, in the form of a library of collected literature, and whatever else we can think of, a survey of tool users or developers.
Okay, I put a note in there to the last, basically adding that to the last paragraph.
Okay.
Of the introduction, not the last paragraph of the document, obviously.
Yeah.
Introduction.
Yeah, that'd be a good spot, I think.
Create four compound references to other. Okay, so wait a minute, Peter sent this up.
I thought I lowered my hand.
Yes.
But in conclusion, sorry, I didn't. In conclusion, I would like the link to the wiki and the tools survey page, but I would be light on mentioning or pointing people to the survey because we may or may not be getting very meaningful results from the survey just yet by the time this document is released.
Well, when is the deadline for the survey?
It was like 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so
we had like two entries when it closed. Now it's
okay.
Twice that much.
Yeah. Well, we will edit this. I mean, we can theoretically edit, add or not add, make the decision about adding a link to the survey until the last minute. That's a minor change. So let's just wait whether there is additional whether there are going to be additional entries within the next weeks.
Good.
Okay. Going back to definitions and terms. So, so we have this, I'm back on page one. We have these four notions we want to, or characteristics of ontologies that you point out as this is the stuff you want to focus on in this document, and I think implicitly this is the kind of characteristics that are important for most usages of ontologies. And we call them, I mean, the first question is, can humans understand the ontology correctly? And there is a somewhat more detail here. Can everybody see if I mark stuff up? Here, so in the paragraph directly under the four questions, and then does the ontology represent the domain appropriately? And I think Todd suggested fidelity. I'm not sure. Before it was quality.
Mm-hmm.
Should probably say ontology fidelity.
Yeah.
But I'm not very happy with the word fidelity. So if somebody else, to me at least, that this means something else. Fidelity means something else than what we mean by that. And by quality, continue to call it fidelity for now. I added here the additional text, and partially in response to Steve's comments about that the quality or fidelity does also capture structural aspects.
Maybe
so this is basically
Terry.
Yes.
I put a comment. I put a comment in the paper. But I thought the term you wanted was validity. And I do think that's true. There's a lot of places where the term validity has been used, and it really resonates with that, with the way you've described it.
There is a common usage that's like a validity in that sense. In ontology, but it conflicts really strongly with the quality quality management sense of validity.
I don't know that we need to be that tied that strongly to quality management unless you want a whole quality management section. Quality management as with respect to validity is not at odds with the way the mathematicians use the term model validation.
I'm not sure if that's true.
Okay. Let me just, for the wider audience who might not have read all which is covered under what is now called fidelity, might be called validity. It encompasses basically everything from, is the ontology well built, and it is matches mostly intrinsic evaluation, and if you go back to the distinction we have been using to distinguish the tracks, but it also is about, is what is in there accurate in the sense, is there no false information in the ontology? This is all covered in this. So the big distinction to model fitness is that it's independent of the requirements. Model fitness is dependent on the requirements of the operational environment. And just to make the last distinction, the difference between model fitness and system fitness is both are depending on the requirements, but one are requirements for how the content of the ontology, for example, what is the scope, how deep do we need to represent the domain. System fitness is more about, for example, what is, does it fit into the IT system that it needs to interoperate with? Does it have the response time that's necessary? All of that. So these are the big four categories. And I like the
John McClure has had his hand up for a while. Sorry, I thought you were finished.
Yeah. Okay. John, please.
Hello, all. This is John McClure. Thank you for the invitation to attend this conference call. I have briefly reviewed the paper, and I apologize in advance if my comments are not appropriate given that I've missed something in the paper. I'd like to start off by saying that there. As I read through it, I jotted down four different areas that I, as a reader, look at the paper for guidance as I'm developing my own ontology. I'd like to just touch on each of the four listen to your response. The first is this whole issue of reuse and integration. Clearly, if you have a domain that you wish to describe, you could do it one of two ways. You could either cook your own, or you can reuse other ontologies as they exist. So those ontologies that try to essentially duplicate those that have been published, let's say, by the W3, and I'll point specifically to SCOS, Simple Knowledge Organization. There's a really significant difference between domains that attempt to, that ignore SCOS or replicate SCOS in some way, don't show any relationship to SCOS. I think that those kinds of ontologies would evaluate ultimately differently than an ontology that does call for using other other ontologies to describe their problem domain. So the bottom line question on that part is whether the evaluation of those two ontologies would show one being superior to the other, or just what are your thoughts on that kind of approach taken to construction of the ontology? Secondly, this is
can we go one by one, because if you
that would be
go
fine.
For four. Well, if you go to four, I will forget the first one.
Yes, John, PDM here. Since I think you already have notes, could you paste your notes to the chat? I think we would probably be able to pick up from the written text more easily as well.
I jotted the notes down on a piece of scrap paper. Is that those notes? I mean, I just identified four things to talk about. That's all.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. It would help to have it captured in the chat.
Okay. I'll be
eventually,
happy to.
We would want you to capture it on the chat anyway.
Okay. I'll be happy to.
So my initial response is that in absence of the requirements, I wouldn't be able to tell you whether whether one ontology which reuses SCOS and would evaluate better than one which doesn't, because it really depends on what your requirements are. If your requirements are such that you want to be interoperable with the world, then that's reusing something which is widely used is always a good idea. But if your requirements are that this is for your internal use, it doesn't need to reuse existing or connect to other resources, then this is maybe not a concern. On the other hand, your requirements, maybe the ontology doesn't do what you want to do it. So I strongly, in my opinion, is if you can reuse something, that's always a good idea. But, you know, you can't, before you have the requirements, you can't tell whether reusing is a good idea in that specific instance.
I agree with that. I'd also like to say I was a little bit confused listening because it sounded like use of SCOS and encouragement of reuse were this being treated as the same thing. And of course they're very, very different, right? SCOS is just one tool to use for some approaches to reuse, and it might not be the best one for all of them. So I'd like to separate those two things out. But yes, the degree to which reusability and or reuse of existing resources are requirements for a given ontology is it's part of the what you figure out at the, in those initial steps when you're identifying your requirements. Generally, I think like Fabian, and I think like most of us, in the ontology community, I want to encourage people to think more about reuse and reusability. But those aren't simple things, and there are certainly going to be real world usages where there's no particular value that in that, and there's a great deal of value in something like rapid delivery or that would be in competition with a thorough review. So you need the requirements.
I appreciate the fact that you're distinguishing between reuse and reusability. And what I've read in the paper is a focus on reusability rather than reuse. Maybe I missed something in that area. Did I?
We do talk about reuse in a couple of places, and what we try to state in there and make clear is that reuse is understood as a part of the ontology development phase for a number of reasons, and one is that the evaluation of an in-house developed ontology and a candidate for reuse is not substantially different in kind. And another is the evaluation, the way that you evaluate an ontology that you've built yourself for a particular usage and one that you are looking at from elsewhere to potentially reuse, they're evaluated essentially the same way. They should be evaluated the same way. They both have to be evaluated against the requirements, and one of the things that we very much want to emphasize is that whichever one of those things you're doing, you need to go through the steps of requirements, development, and analysis, ontological analysis, and design before you can meaningfully evaluate that on the ontology for use, whether you built it yourself or whether you found it somewhere else.
Well, it would seem to me that it becomes more an academic question as far as the fitness of a particular ontology. If you're not trying to identify, if the focus of this effort is not on, of this paper is not on identifying others' ontologies that could be reused in to solve one's domain problems. So, that's what I'm worried about is that the ultimate objective of this document is to allow the author of an ontology to say, that they scored X on your scale, which and metrics is another point I wanted to bring up in a moment, but as opposed to saying that I've created an ontology that other people can reuse and therefore and scores well as a consequence. So, you know, the objective of this whole effort, I'm wondering, is I urge us to stay away from if you will boutique ratings of one's ontology and have as an objective here to identify ontologies that can be reused. And
okay,
so
John, I'm gonna cut you off a little bit. I'm gonna cut you off a little bit because we have a lot of points to go through that have been crafted as part of the last 3 months. And
okay.
I don't want us to lose the ability to hang on to these. I do think if you read the document again, you might change your mind about what you think the focus is, but we can go back to that later. And again, if you want to capture your comments in chat, that's very helpful.
Okay.
But we should make sure we get to the key points that we started on that we need feedback on from the.
Okay. Well, the second point of feedback is that there seems to be very little discussion that distinguishes between ontology properties that are identified in ontologies and classes. So I have to say that I find that a weakness of the document as it now stands. The third area is metrics. I don't see anything about actual measurement of ontologies along some quantitative scales of some kind, one kind or another. And then finally, it gets into the whole life cycle. It seems, and your answer a second ago kind of demonstrated this, that you seem to be focused on a waterfall process rather than an agile reiterative process. And I'm wondering if you could talk to those three items as well: metrics, properties versus classes, and finally, agile versus waterfall.
We can give very brief responses, but then we need to go back to these main things. Properties and classes, that's an implementation question, and in very, very much in the weeds of ontology formalization. There's a tendency of people who don't understand the logical foundations to think of things as certain conventions that they've followed in how they represent one things in terms of one or the other. As if those were necessary. There's generally many, many logically equivalent ways to represent anything, and the details of how to do that is part of formalization and way beyond the scope of this document. Metrics and life cycle. Okay, life cycle, we are explicitly not thinking in terms of waterfall. Some earlier discussions touched on this. We don't want to rule out people who are using waterfall, but it's not typically what people are doing, and it's not typically what an ontology that is in use in an information systems application would go through. So the life cycle, if you look at this, the figure and the discussion of this particular life cycle model, I hope that if you see something in there that strongly suggests that we're talking waterfall, that you will put a comment on that in the document, because then we need to correct that impression.
Amanda, just to jump in, I mean, for example, Leo's diagrams were specifically showing iteration quite a bit.
Yeah. And we did, it's discussed extensively in the text around the figure. The figure doesn't, it figure sort of maps some dependencies and feedbacks, and does not show something ending at a particular point, but it is somewhat neutral as to what variant of development life cycle.
May I jump in? I mean, the point you made before. If you have the impression this is a water, this depicts the waterfall life model, then try to mark up where you got the impression, because it's certainly not what we intended. I would also say something about metrics, and you're right about this. This is a weakness of the document. The problem of metrics is that we have had, I mean, this is a summary of 3 months of events, and it is, unfortunately, it has been the case that we haven't talked much about metrics, and they haven't been identified, and the metrics that are, some of the metrics at least that have been identified, it was unclear how they linked to the requirements. And so it would be nice if we could, start from the requirements, the business requirements, break them down to requirements, to the ontologies, and then translate that into metrics that can be evaluated. But I don't think that we are there yet.
I think that this is one of those topics where I think it would be useful for us to be able to, for us to gather the resources that we do have on specific metrics in one place and link to them. I also think we do have in the recommendations where we think that some specific further work is necessary to make clearer some of to develop a better understanding of some of the things that Fabian talked about. I hope, and I'm not yet in a position to promise that we will have good linkable outputs from the ontology evaluation hackathon, which does go a little bit more into talking about metrics, measures, relationship to requirements, and for example, Astrid has created a whole sort of representation of Acquire's handling of that fits into that larger picture, and which then can be extended later. So hopefully, we may be again something where we can link to more detail elsewhere, but there's no way that we could handle an adequate discussion of what we have within the constraints of this document.
Before you leave this topic of metrics, I will say, if you just search on the word metrics in the communique, on page 8, you will see on the structural metrics, it identifies explicitly about 5 or 6 of them and points to the synthesis page for intrinsic evaluation.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate your answers. I'm only disappointed by the statement about talking about the primary outputs of or components of the ontology, namely properties and classes, being relegated to the weeds of the process. I think that's
remember that this is not a how to build an ontology document. This is a document advocating for greater use of evaluation and providing some information about how that is possible. But again, if you want to put your comments in the chat or raise things for follow-up, we can certainly discuss that offline.
Thank you.
Peter, your hand is up.
Yes, as there are more people and more noises introduced, I'm now going to mute everyone. So from here on, except for Amanda and Bobby and everyone, will have to do the *7, *6 unmute cycle to speak now. Amanda. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Amanda?
Great.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Okay, yes. so can we return?
Yes. Okay.
Right. No. I actually wanted to have something else to say. I didn't put up my hand.
Sorry.
Just to say I wanted to. To answer the question about metrics, I think the HCO3, the FIBO clinic, did huge amount of work. And if you want one document to point to, the one that they collaboratively produced is probably it. Besides FIBO people, OOPS, OQUARE, OntoQA were all present. Unfortunate, Astrid is the only person from that group who's here. Maybe she can talk to something. They're still working on it, and I believe those people are still going to meet before they finalize, but that definitely would be a document maybe the lead editors could reference to see if they could pick out good things that missed.
Very good.
So I was
in the chat. Could you capture that in the chat so you don't forget that? I mean, the
all right. I'll put something on the chat. Yep. And the other thing is, I mean, I was about to go back to when you were discussing about this those four characteristics, high level characteristics. I think they're brilliant. And I had one suggestion on the side that is for your consideration to make it even cleaner than and leave out the word model and just use intelligibility, vitality, fitness, and deployability. And I particularly like fidelity because I like it here more than when you describe it later, because when you describe it later, you try to make it fit into intrinsic aspects, which it isn't, but the brilliance here is about, I mean, are we really representing the domain properly? So I make a further comment lower down as well as to the role domain experts has in this. So that's my suggestion is leave out model, which I believe you guys already agreed to, but was going to substitute that with ontology, though. My suggestion is slightly more radical.
Okay. I agree with we don't need this in front of the fidelity. I would like to keep the same word, whether it's fitness or something, on 3 and 4, because to me at least it seems to be important to make and to make clear that they are both deriving from requirements. But maybe that can be done in text as well. Okay, but in any way, good ideas. And do you put that as notes? Did you put that in?
Already on the comments on the site.
Yes. Thank you.
That's always commented on the site.
Great. I think Astrid had her hands up, or had one hand up, one digital hand up. Yes.
Hello. Do you hear me?
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. I was talking about the Peter said that we, in the last weekend, we make a very good job and trying to relate the quality criteria of a query to the fiber requirements and to the metrics. We make a document, and I think if you want to see, I will put in the chat in that moment. And this is a table with the relationship between the quality criteria, the fiber concepts, and the metrics. You can see now in the chat. This is the in the hackathon tree, and I think that then we finish it and we put the rest of the document finalized.
Wonderful.
I heard something about the problem to combine the, for example, reusability to the metrics. And in this document, you can see that there is some metrics related to reusability, for example. But that part is not finished yet. But for example, to the functional adequacy has been finalized. And you can see that there is more metrics than before. And Opus metrics, or criteria, and metrics from Antoqua 2. Do you have now access to the document?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
The idea is that this framework is useful for all kind of ontologies, and depending on the specific domain, you can define the description of this table. For example, for fiber, we change only the description of this table, and we added some metrics. This I was to show that.
Okay.
I think this is an approximation to the metrics and relationship with requirements.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering now whether we, Fabian's not going to like this, I think, because I'm partially wanting to add things, but I wonder whether we need to say something in the requirements and development and analysis phase about in that section about what the relationship between requirements and evaluation criteria and therefore methods, metrics, etc. There.
Yeah, the idea I think will be define some requirements and depends on the of that requirement select some of the criteria useful for measuring that requirement. And the metrics are now defined here in the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we will, if you try to link all of the questions we have there as evaluation questions to metrics.
Oh yeah,
The document is going to be even bigger than it is today, and I think for a communicator it's too big. But Yeah, we need to think about how to integrate that. I mean, strengthening, putting in something which, you know, talks about metrics and linking to this document, we should do in
yes.
any case. But the question how we do that best is not obvious to me how to do that. And I don't think that that just trying to basically add to each evaluation sections all the metrics, I don't think we will be able to do that. Just too much work for now and also too long. But thank you, Astrid. It's really impressive. Terry? Terry, I can't hear you. Star 7.
Okay. How about that?
That's perfect.
I'm sorry. I put the stuff on the chat session, I agree with John McClure a little bit that the idea of a true life cycle means that requirements aren't only a starting point. Requirements also can arise from operational experiences. And so I just wanted to make that point. We might want to add a note about that to make it clear that we're not talking about a waterfall. The other thing is,
okay.
my comment about the what did I talk about? Oh, the purpose. I put in a couple lines about purpose and that we might want to show how our purpose kind of segued into one where we're talking about not just development but the whole life of an ontology, and that it is just it isn't just best practices that we're coming up with. So we're really talking about current practices, but we're not judging them as the best necessarily. Thank you.
To your first point, we try to address this, I think, and if you go on page 2, the last paragraph, I mean, there's a lot of white space there, but the last paragraph, is, especially everything after the moreover, we say that the sequences that, you know, that may themselves be overlapping, for example, the point was that if you have an ontology, you often have a version that is current, and you might have different versions that you're working on, and then you're in different life cycles automatically. And I think, I'm not sure where it is currently, but we also have a different, probably in the same, on the next page, where we say about the fact, mention that the maintenance and use, the results of the evaluation there can feed or will feed into the requirements for the next version of the ontology. Actually, I'm pretty sure we say that in the operational and maintenance phase when we discuss it. And I'm not saying that we do it perfectly. I'm just saying that would be natural places to strengthen it to make the point more concise.
Okay. All I was saying there was a comment in the document says you're going to do something with the word with the purpose, and I thought that this was one point that you could put in the purpose. Perhaps, or probably, to refer down to the larger exposition of it that you described. But I think that the fact that the purpose changed a little bit should be pointed out as early in the paper. That's okay.
So you mean on page 2 on the paragraph which starts with the purpose of this document?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you just put in a note what you would want to add? I'm not entirely sure that I...
Didn't I do that? Didn't my comment say that? At at 1327.
Oh, you were talking about the chat. I was talking about, okay.
Oh, I'm
I'll
sorry.
Just put that. I was just putting this in the document itself.
In the document itself. Okay, I'll do that.
No, I'll do it. I'm
okay.
I'm already.
Okay, I'll shut up now.
No, thank you. I'll just. Steve.
Star 7, Steve.
Phew.
Sorry, my window was hidden and I had to go find it. I just wanted to draw Fabian's attention to the comment I made on Terry's thing in light of Amanda's observation that this is not a how-to document for developing ontology. Maybe we should soft pedal the development side a little bit and push forward the evaluation side a little bit. So responding to Terry's suggestion about how we include the phrasing, you know, we might want to put at least evaluation before development. That's what I'm specifically picking up on the conversation that Amanda had with John McClure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it is obvious that the reason why we talk about the life cycle, the main motivation, is not to talk about the life cycle, but really because we wanted to have something where we can put the evaluation activities in and make clear when they need to happen. And yes, so that's the focus.
Right.
I'd
have to take another pass looking through the document to see whether we're always sort of thinking evaluation during the life cycle, which of course we do in the title, but make sure people understand that this is not a guide for how to build an ontology.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it has that aspect because we have had, after all, we had a whole track which had the focus on how do you build your ontology in a way that you get a quality product as a result.
Right. It's really how to evaluate ontology while you're building it, or how to incorporate evaluation into your building of ontology.
Building or using. So, we made a lot of edits in this draft to try and make this clearer, but maybe it's still not. The weight against it is still such that we need to do more. We're trying to put a strong emphasis on the idea that most of these steps need to be done if you're engaging any ontology usage, whether or not you're intending to develop any ontology yourself. Now, in the background of that, there is a sense that currently it's nearly impossible to use any existing ontology off the shelf. There's some adaptation that generally needs to be done. But independently of that, when people go out sort of ontology shopping, they often have no understanding of what they need beyond a very broad description of the domain that probably isn't even specific enough. But they actually, in order to tell whether they're going to be able to use any ontology they find in their intended application, meaning application in the broadest sense, they are going to have to identify their requirements and get a better sense of what they need covered in order to have something to evaluate that found ontology against. And I think that we say that, but we don't perhaps, it's not getting through enough that that's an equally focal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm open to suggestions about how to make that clearer. besides adding more, it's always add more stuff, right? But I'm not ruling out adding more stuff. I'm just saying open to more specific suggestions than that.
Okay, I would like, because I see the danger that this meeting will end without a final or without a decision on how to call these damn things. So is there anybody who doesn't like intelligibility as one of the characteristics and or has a better name for it? Because it seems so far nobody was against it. So please put your alternatives or disagreements on the chat. And I see there's a voting option here somehow, so maybe I can add a vote for fidelity versus validity. This is this will be decided now democratically, and everybody who is not on the phone call misses out. Ida, can you set that up? I don't know the interface.
And can you hear me real quick?
Yes.
While you're doing that, and I just want to be clear, you mean by fidelity, do you mean it properly captures the real world that it's trying to capture, or you mean it captures it and it's got logical consistency and structural soundness?
Yes.
Well, the second one?
Yeah, it has. For me, that is all. I mean, if it's inconsistent, it can't be an appropriate description of the world. Unless you believe in real existing contradictions, and then I won't talk to you.
Well, it's not. I would distinguish between the natural world and the artificial world. By which I mean people's beliefs and human constructed.
Right. Yeah, but if you represent that appropriately, then you still don't have a contradiction. You just have a model where people believe that there are contradictions.
Oh.
That's no issue. You just need an ontology language which is expressive enough to repress it and to express that.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to understand the scope of what you mean by number two there. Okay. I think.
Yeah. But it includes this and it includes representing the domain properly, but it also includes following. Design decisions you make.
Okay.
So everything basically which does, so for example, if you decide you want to be a four-dimensionalist, then, and your ontology is a four-dimensional ontology, then you shouldn't start suddenly introducing 3D entities, right? That's
okay.
A design decision. So all of that, basically everything which has to do with originally, it was called model quality. Everything which has to do with the quality of the ontology, which is not depending on the requirements for the intended use. That's the difference. One is for the model fitness is for the intended use and evaluated with respect to a given use, and model, which is the thing which is now temporarily called model fidelity. Is everything which is evaluated without that link.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, each of those things is the different aspects of this is broken down, obviously, in the section on evaluation of, in the ontology development and reuse section. There it goes into some length on the different aspects of model fidelity. So I would like a democratic vote how to call it.
All right, how do you do that?
Well, I was hoping Peter sets it up for us because he is the option, but I don't know really how to use it. Peter, will you be able to do that?
I can try. I don't know this very well. What are the options anyway?
Well, I guess we can have a vote on whether to call it fidelity, quality, or what was the
How about fidelity and quality?
So what, you want to have print choices for words?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Okay. I'm going to try to set up a vote here then. So what are the options you want?
Quality, fidelity, and validity. And I would prefer not to have ends, just because we want to keep it snappy. I mean, that's the reason why I think Peter suggested to take the model out there.
Hmm.
Okay, so it was quality, fidelity,
and validity.
I'm setting up the.
Oh, you're setting up.
Are you trying to set up the poll?
Yeah, I'm trying to set it up too.
Okay, please. Then.
Okay, so
Doug, to answer your question, there will be a poll. There will be a voting mechanism, which I assume will
on the chat. Yeah,
will give you the option, but there you go.
Yeah, we could just put our hands up on the.
We put the vote button at the top, I think.
Oh,
here we go. Well, we have to choose one, huh? Okay.
That's the idea of voting, yes.
Vote often. Okay.
Those are all very good words, but it depends what the meaning is that you're trying to put a term
for. I try to capture the meaning. I mean, the meaning is evaluation of an ontology with respect to the things which are not derived from the operational requirements. And this includes whether the stuff in there is true, so whether it's depicting the world accurately. This includes inconsistency or inconsistency. This includes, among other things, the validation against requirements that you put in there in your ontology design. So if you say you are a four-dimensionalist, that means you have now certain commitments about how your ontology needs to be designed. If you commit yourself to a single subsumption hierarchy, that also gives you a commitment which you can then evaluate. So quality is...
Can you document that on the chat, please?
Okay. It's documented in the document.
What I'm struggling with, Fabian, by the way, it looked like Lamar Henderson closed the vote before we got a chance, but... Oh, good. Did it again. Thank you, Michael. By the virtue of how you're describing it, Fabian, it seems like there are some implicit ands in there. That's why I'm struggling to not include one, more than one. But anyway, I'll go ahead and vote.
I think I agree. I mean, quality is the broad term, but it covers more than you've just described.
It is broken down into the various things that I just described in the section.
Yeah, but I think there's a proper term for each. There's a term for each of those things, but not, as far as I know, a term that is an aggregate for those things.
Right.
I think that's the only thing. And the only term that is an aggregate is quality, and that's an aggregate for more than what you want. So if you want something that is just what you want, you have a problem.
I agree.
Okay, so I'm really surprised you haven't done the us non-Germans is the stereotypical German thing to do, which is just to concatenate all the relevant terms together.
Fabian actually got on me for using a making a seven-syllable suggestion. So he's.
Yeah.
Very sensitive to that.
Yes, I have been thoroughly Americanized. That means words with more than three syllables are suspicious.
Dear, that's a shame. No, one should celebrate one's cultural heritage.
I do that with eating sausages, but not with long words.
I really think it's a problem. I mean, it sounds quite close to intrinsic qualities, what your definition is. But I'm not. That's about as close as I could get.
Well, I'm not. I think the problem is that all of these words have. I mean, we always will struggle that all of these words have predefined meanings in different communities, which
yeah.
also don't, you know, coincide. So I am, at least right now, in a Humpty Dumpty mood. That's why I, you know, pushed a vote, basically saying, take any of these words and we define what it means for us. Or not define, I don't go that far, but we explain to some large degree with long text what we mean by it.
Establish a new usage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, and that's why I thought, you know, let's just vote, let's pick one and go with that one. Because you're right, there is no, you know, there is no existing use which captures this and only this.
Why do we need to capture this and only this?
Sorry?
And why do we need just one word?
Because that relates to when are things evaluated and how, and what are the, and where do the requirements come from? You put, I mean, the emphasis of this document under your guidance, basically, mainly, is and to put a lot of emphasis on the requirements, right?
Sure.
So there are requirements which come from operational environments, and there are requirements which come from the, you know, intelligibility side, which you
yeah.
might even include under the operational environment, but, you know. And then there are other requirements which come, which are based on, not based on both of these things, and this is mainly on reality, is what you're saying true, and the other thing is on design decisions which you make, because there are just different ways of how to conceptualize reality, and
yeah.
I wouldn't like to break that in two different places, because
okay.
then immediately we will get into the question, well where's the boundary? Is it really true? Is it true that is four-dimensionalism true, or is it just a conceptualism, a way of conceptualizing reality which is equally good at three-dimensionalism? And I don't want to go there.
Sure. No, of course.
I will want to have an umbrella term which
okay.
captures...
Yeah, no, okay, then I think
well, no,
that
I
there is a principle. There is a principle here, then, that it's well worth doing, and that is not to use a single word, but to use a base word and a qualifier. Because then you're not hijacking the word. And
but
in
I'm
that case,
to.
I would be very inclined to pick the word quality, because that's a superset of what we're talking about, and then put a word in front of it, or behind it, if it's more appropriate, that qualifies what sort of quality you're talking about. And from what you've said, I would choose either internal or intrinsic quality. I would pick one of those two.
But then, see, if we talk intrinsic, then this sense of capturing the domain accurately is excluded.
That may be why you want to use the word internal, then, because intrinsic already has a meaning. It isn't quite what we want.
You know, Matthew, you've actually convinced me that I don't like this category.
Well, if there isn't a proper word for it already, there's a good chance that it's not desperately useful. I would feel perfectly comfortable with listing the things that Fabian said were the things that were included. I would be quite happy with a list of those things. And I would feel better informed, because I would have a better idea of what those were than this new term, unless you were going to, you know, well, even if you did give a definition, I would actually personally prefer to have the words that I did understand, rather than have to keep referring back to this thing, the definition of this thing, that I don't actually know, because it's not part of my current lexicon.
Well, I
especially
think
when this is the first time I'm seeing it.
Well,
there
is an explanation directly under it, so you will not be uninformed unless you stop reading after the questions. And of course, there's a long explanation.
How many times are you going
to
use this term? How many times are you going to use this term in the communique?
Well, we are going to use it basically in several places where we reference. Sorry? Oh, you searched
eight places. Oh, dear.
I didn't search. This is what stood out to me as where you really lay out that you mean the these particular structural.
If there are really eight places, then it's worth trying. Okay. In which case, I'll suggest internal quality.
But I'm really not sure that it belongs there, because to me, this kind of, to the extent that the mathematical and logical properties and structural metrics referenced on page 8 are, to the extent that there are requirements for a particular usage, and there, you know, I think that's, some of them are about always, and some of them are only sometimes. But to the extent that they are, those requirements are derived from model and system fitness, I think.
Yeah.
And that they're not part of. They don't really go with this notion of capturing the domain. In a manner that represents the chunk of world you're trying to model as it is interacted with in this domain.
Sure.
Which is what I was thinking of originally,
but
as the point of two. So, I'm sorry, Fabian, but I'm disagreeing with the grouping.
Well, I'm not seeing us going to go coming closer to a conclusion here. That's not.
Fabian,
I'm
just putting on the chat here, suggesting we have this fifth higher level thing, and then we can separate those two, the domain fidelity and the internal consistency, or whatever we want to call it.
Domain,
I think that's
fidelity sounds quite good.
Yeah, domain fidelity, that's one of the pieces that Fabian is putting into number two. But then he has another piece, which I think is separable, which is the model consistency or something like that.
No, it's not consistency. It's much stronger than that.
Well, okay. We can have a separate little vote on that, though. But
that might be validity in the mathematical logical sense.
I agree. I'd be happy with validity as a fifth one.
Well, but again, I'd be careful.
No, validity
a qualifier.
It is not.
I'd be careful to use a qualifier like logical validity, if that's what you meant. Because
yes.
Validity
is too broad a term. Don't mean that. Logical validity is
say
not.
What you do mean
definitely.
Then?
Yeah, I thought. What do you think you mean? Which is not the domain fidelity part. What's the other part? What do you think you mean, Fabian?
Well, it's not what I think I mean. It's what I mean. It's just the word logical validity has a meaning in logic, so that we can
okay.
That.
Let's
that was
qualifier.
I think what we need to capture here are the requirements which are derived from design decisions, among other things. I mean, consistency can go either way. I would still think that inconsistency means you have not achieved domain fidelity, if that's the word you want to choose.
But Fabian, you can have inconsistency irrespective of whether it's real or domain relevant or not. You can write an inconsistent ontology which has nothing to do with reality.
Okay.
Well, the
point that Ken just put on the chat, the scientific and mathematical notion of statistical notion of validity, that seems to be what you mean. To a large extent, isn't it?
That's what he means by number two, the current number two.
That is fidelity. It's what you called more domain fidelity.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I take it. We will I mean, we should not completely, I think we should make some progress. Maybe dividing up will make it easier, and then we play call one either validity or, I mean, validity alike for the fidelity alike for the domain fidelity for one, and for the other, I'm not sure.
Okay,
grab one of these many words and put it on there.
Think of a base term and then qualify it to make it more precise, Fabio. That's the route to go with these things.
Okay. Oh. So is that okay? Will we go with domain fidelity and something quality or?
Yeah, I mean, try a few out. One of the things we did when we were developing ISO 15996 was we struggled with something, so we put two or three alternatives together, which gave people the opportunity to see how they would go and whether they really fit or not. So be prepared to be you know, it's fine to play with it a bit and try out alternatives.
Okay, I'll send out, I think we can send out and then proposals by email.
Yeah, I think that would be a good way to engage with people and see, get some response. Send out the paragraph that has the term and suggest some alternatives that, and you'll get a few back probably as well.
John, domain coverage is different. Domain coverage is included in, if you mean by that, whether you have covered the domain sufficiently in order to support your use cases, that's covered in what we call model fitness so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's clearly depending on, the coverage is depending on the requirements you have. Okay, what we should look at, in my opinion, is one section we haven't discussed last time just because it wasn't there last time, and that's observations and recommendations. And that's, I wouldn't call it a placeholder, but it's not a section we have worked a lot on. So I expect other people to have additional suggestions. So it's on the last page. So and again, feedback for people who haven't been participating in our ontology summit before: this observation and the recommendation kind of sections are usually where the community says, okay, you know, what needs to be done in the future. Where should we go? What are the open problems that need to be addressed? That kind of recommendations from the community for the rest of the community. I don't get any feedback.
You may still be reading.
Okay.
Obviously, this section, you know, it needs prose work, but we feedback on the content and emphasis is especially.
I'd take any feedback.
Yeah, that's true. live, it's more essential to.
Yes.
Get the content part. Wordsmithing is easier to do asynchronously.
Yes.
Yeah, my apologies for being so late today. I will have a look at this over the weekend and attempt to do the same sort of level of review as I did last time.
Yeah, and especially if you find, you know, I think you made the comment that this reads to academic.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm not the best person to address that issue.
I understand that.
Academia doesn't read.
I will make specific proposals next time. on that, if there's something left.
Yeah,
but I
okay,
think,
thank you.
Amanda will have known what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But are you guys planning to move your calendar a bit? Because from the last meeting, the sort of verdict was today is the last day to make suggestions and past that it would be sort of the more confined changes only.
No, I think
you want
we
to
have
extend that to next Monday or something.
Yes, I think that's what we need to do that. And I mean, the we are a little bit behind, or we are behind schedule. But there's that's actually a good thing, because one reason we are behind schedule is because we got a lot of feedback. And although it might look not, you know, the sections are still more or less the same in all of, so it might not look that there's a big difference, but, you know, much of this text has been rewritten or substantially improved because of all the great comments we got. So, so thank you to everybody who provided feedback. So yeah, but as a result of that, we are not as far. The result is the document is much better, but we are not as far in the process as we were hoping to. Amanda, what would be a good? I mean, I think it is, you know, if you have substantial, if you want to suggest substantial changes, that should happen in the next days. If it's, and then it goes down from the closer we get to the deadline, the less receptive we will be for fundamental changes.
I'm inclined to say Tuesday to give people, you know, there's two work days and a weekend.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's clear, actually.
But it doesn't stretch on beyond that for substantial.
You mean for substantial changes?
Yes.
For you know, improving
yeah,
the pros and
things can go on a bit longer.
Yeah.
Yes, that is everything in that direction can be very flexible.
Yeah. But
especially if it's edited directly here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Although you said it's improved a lot, it actually started pretty good as well. I think we're heading towards probably the best communique that we've been able to produce, you know, over the series. And that's partly. Well, there's lots of things that go into that. One of them is saying that we're not going to be editing it at the symposium. But I think you've done a good job in the start point, which then in turn makes it easier to improve. So you get a virtuous circle.
It's definitely, this is an excellent document.
Yeah, it is. There's no question.
Thank you.
So, recommendations. I'm sure we must have more recommendations than this. I mean, why not?
Yep. I'm not going to shoot from the hip, though. I'll read it, and I will come back with something if I think there's something missing. But you don't have to have lots of recommendations for them to be telling. In fact, ideally, you shouldn't have too many, because the more you have, the more it dilutes the ones that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not look for large numbers of recommendations particularly, just a modest number. And actually, what is there, five there?
Yes.
I would number them, by the way, rather than use bullets. It just somehow it gives it a bit more punch. But five is about the right number to have. Seven should be, you know, the maximum.
Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
I think in terms of competing recommendations, once you get if you ever get to seven. And that something has to drop out or be combined somehow. It's like this thing about mission statements. You know, you get these mission statements that are three paragraphs long. And the thing about a mission statement is that if you can't remember it, it wasn't worth having.
Well, I mean, mission creep has definitely is definitely an issue, a running issue with the communique. I mean, we spend a lot of time as a group and refining that. Bobby and I, and iteratively in various summit discussions, deciding, you know, very specifically what is the mission of this document, right? What are we really trying to do, and let's try and do that really well and not try and do everything else. I think the other thing that helps this time is knowing that we're, you know, we can focus on there being additional outputs from the summit. This doesn't have to be the only thing that goes out there and affects the world.
Yeah. Okay. I was really
impressed, because I was expecting a communique that said something along the lines of, you know, that this is an area in ontology that is very weak, and it would be a good idea if someone did something about it. And what you actually did was do something about it, which kind of, you know, I thought really impressive. So well done.
Thank you. It also reflects, though, that the summit community as a whole has made an attempt, you know, in the various sessions to synthesize things as we're going along and identify and solve.
I think you did a really good job of picking that out.
Okay, I think we should open the, I mean, are there other questions about, I mean, it seems that nobody is coming forward with additional recommendations. You are coming forward. You have your chance to write it in the document. Okay.
No, I was going to ask a different question. We didn't really talk about the other for group consideration point that I had marked.
Sorry. Yes.
So back on page one, where all the trouble is, I have a comment in there for group consideration on information system. And just to give a bit of background, one of my contentions, as I said before, is that many of the formal, structural, et cetera, requirements for an ontology in a particular usage, when they are requirements, derive from the system and model fitness. But we are explicitly meaning to consider not only cases where the ontology is embedded in a technological information system, but also cases where the ontology is being used as a reference for mutual, to increase understandability between people or organizations, or to classify things or something. For this reason, and because our actual model of the intended usage includes supported activities and so forth, my understanding of information system here is a broad one, and includes the way that the humans and organizations use the ontology and/or larger system to make decisions or perform tasks. Now, that clearly wasn't clear, but I believe that over the last, this summit and the last one, that the community has come pretty close to a consensus on that. And I want to double check on that. Matthew, you're agreeing?
I would certainly agree with you that you lose too much if you don't take a broad view here.
But I also, I mean, from a practical standpoint, from working on so many projects, it's my not-so-humble opinion that if you don't include that, you can get a very nice ontology that fits into a very nice ontology-enabled information, an IT system, that nobody can use to do anything.
Absolutely.
So I think it should be part of requirements. But so if we're agreed that that's the right sense of it, then I think I'm a little bit of review and cleanup might be needed to make sure that that's clear enough in the document. But we wanted to get the consensus first, confirmed or disconfirmed. Anybody else have an opinion on it?
Okay.
All right. I'll take that as a yes then.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that there are places where we mean the words information system in a narrow sense? And if so, are there two different words?
Well, you may need to just say what you mean by information system somewhere to make that clear.
Yeah.
So because people might interpret it inappropriately if you don't say something to make that clear. But Amanda will spot where that's an issue.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, suggestions?
Well, opinion?
Yes.
Oh, so I don't know if we, I mean, I think things have, you know, pretty well gelled here. So it seems to be just maybe minor points that are left over.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everyone else's kind of opinion as well? I mean, you know, you've kind of passed the period where you're kind of accepting large scale thematic changes or anything like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, so for example, including better linking to the metrics is probably going to be a large scale change in the sense that either there's going to be a new section or we need to fit it somewhere. So things of that nature, I think we still accept, but only for a relatively close window, I think Amanda said. Tuesday, and that sounds reasonable to me. So afterward, we would be hesitant to accept these kinds of changes. So everybody, I guess everybody who hasn't read it yet, please get your comments in.
It was great to see people reading and commenting on it while we were working on it too. Good feedback.
Yeah. Well, okay, Peter, I think I give you the word as, you know, to make announcements.
Okay, I guess it has been a great session and wanted to make sure everyone comes back next week for the last session before the symposium, and that's a pre-symposium preparation and review. Especially people who are in the organizing committee, if you don't like to have another Friday meeting at the organizing committee, your best bet is to come to the Thursday meeting where we can try to tie everything down. And in particular, everyone who is going to be presenting at the symposium better show up. And then we could sort of see if there are things that needs to be coordinated for people who have things to present, for example, not just the track champions, but the hackathon clinic champions, and hopefully maybe we can invite the keynote speakers, I mean, if they can take the time to join us. That's all I have. Mike is on the call, Mike Dean, since you are chairing. Any other additional comments?
Yes. Steve has
Steve, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just two quick points, I guess. I would say just logistically, if people have questions, you know, one of them that had been floating around was any specific NIST rates on hotels for people who are going to use hotels. I think it turns out they're only like $3 different from what you can get yourself by various, you know, hotel websites and things. And the other was just reminding people what kind of deadlines, Peter, you were thinking we want for the folks presenting at the symposium. Where were those deadlines written? Is that in the main homepage of the summit?
I don't think we have deadlines yet. I guess we will. Maybe I should.
Yeah, we might want to.
Yeah, yeah, instead of 2 days, maybe we'll ask people to have the slides ready by Monday or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think
this is not too much to ask.
In my own mind, I guess, have we finalized? I guess this might be a question for the symposium chairs and things like who is all on the various panels and things like that. Are we going to resolve that, presumably, the next Friday meeting? Is that the idea, or what?
There may not be a Friday meeting if we can settle everything on Thursday.
Okay. So there's a number of unanswered issues, I think, still floating around on that. So, but the logistics topic is the other one I just think are potentially questions that are going to come up. And you might also mention the number of registrants we have at this point. I know that was floating around some email. Everyone
yes,
might not
be aware. Has been updating us on the registration numbers. And I guess as of this morning, 40 people have registered for the on-site. Didn't count the remote, probably around maybe 12 people registered for remote. So do note that the on-site registration deadline is next Tuesday, the 22nd. Next Monday, the 22nd. So there's only like 2 working days left. So please register yourself. Yeah.
And let me stress that, you know, it's for free, so please register if you consider to come, because if you try to come and you're not registered, the NIST police won't let you on campus, so it's not like a university. You really need to be registered.
At the same time, Fabian, isn't it true that I think ROM has to pay some amount of money per registrant, whether they show up or not?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so don't go too crazy if you just think, well, there's a 2% chance I'll go, so I'll go ahead and register. I do know that he has to pay something, which covers administrative things like Wi-Fi, you know, security things, all that stuff.
Okay, but in any case, you won't be able to get in if you're not registered.
Right.
So
that's
take
right.
It seriously.
Right. Okay.
Okay, then I think we can close the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Great meeting.
See everyone next week.
Okay.
Great job.
See you all soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.